Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. As introduction, I want to speak this evening on the fire of God. The fire of God. We sing that song, "Set My Soul" what? On fire. How can we translate? How can we translate the fire of God to 2021 is the big question. Oh, we know about the past. We know what the Bible says about fire. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. Fire in the Bible is essential to a symbol of the holiness of God. Do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about the holiness of God? Yes? Amen. I'll tell you what, there's a dearth of the holiness of God in America today, in the churches of America, and even the Baptist churches. There's such a need for the fire of God to fall. And the Bible is also referred to as the purging fire of God. It says in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. This is Elijah on Mount Carmel. And when all the people saw it, what did they do when they saw the fire fall? The Bible says they fell on their faces. And they said, notice, the Lord, He is the God. Big G. He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And when you get into the holiness of God and the fire of God falls upon your life, you're going to have such an appetite for God's holiness that you'll just want to quit anything in your life that's not right. Amen. A clean slate between me and God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. But how do we relate that, the fire of God, to our lives? Well, in the book of Exodus chapter 3, I want you to follow me. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off the shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is what? Holy ground. Oh, that's wonderful. Moses is on holy ground. Take your shoes off. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Now, how does that relate to us? How does the burning bush experience relate to us? Well, it's the calling of God in our lives. Everybody here has heard from God. If you're saved, you became convicted by the Spirit of God. You became convinced you needed to be saved, and then you were converted. So all of you have had an encounter with God. If you haven't gotten saved yet, He's wanting to have a relationship with you. And He's already revealed Himself and put you here to hear the Word of God so that you can respond to the power of God that you might be saved. But God's called all of us, hasn't He? And the big question is, have you had your burning bush experience? Has there been a time where God has so spoken to your heart where you begin to say, Lord, what can I do for the cause of Christ? One of the neatest examples of that was in a missions conference. A lady was sitting in the back in a wheelchair, been there for years in the church, and she never came to the altar ever. Well, the preaching was powerful and the missionaries' testimonies were great, and their preaching was great. And by the end of the week, she was so under conviction that she unlocked her wheelchair and she made her way to the altar the very first time. The pastor saw her and the pastor's wife saw her, and so they both came and they met her right here at the front, and they said, "Why did you come?" And she said, "I have used my wheelchair as an excuse not to be used of God." And she said, "Pastor, you have got to find out a way that I can serve my God in this wheelchair." Boy, she put it right on him. Isn't that good? He'll take care of it. And so him and his wife went home and said, "What are we going to do?" They said, "Well, I think if she can use a phone, we could have her look in the phone book." And so they got to her house and they said, "Now, do you know how to use a phone?" She said, "Oh, sure." "Well, I'd like you to call everybody in this phone book. And I put together a little letter that you could read. I'm in a wheelchair. I am not able to get out and come to your home. But I love the Lord Jesus. He saved me, and I want you to come and be my guest." And she tells what church it is and where it's located and everything. There were so many visitors that came to see her that the church staff could not keep up with all of the visits. One person got called to the burning bush experience. Isn't that glorious? What could God do with all of us if all of us said, "Here I am, Lord, what you got for me?" Most people are going, when the pastor, "Can we use some help?" And they go, "Somebody else will ask. I don't want to have to do this." You rob yourself of blessings all the time. And another thing too, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you better do it. Hey, how many of you have ever had the Lord speak to you about doing something and you didn't do it? Raise your hand. Come on now. Everybody raise your hands up. Yeah. Next time the Holy Spirit speaks to you and lays upon you the burden to do something, do it. Because I want to tell you something, God's going to bless you far more than you'll ever be a blessing. Did you hear me? God will bless you far more than you'll ever be a blessing. Give. What does it say? Give and it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together and running over. That's how our God works. You can't outgive God. Don't be tipping God. Amen. Give, 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 give of yourself. Amen. We're to be praying for our missionaries that God will protect them and strengthen them and help them. As much as they need to go, we need to pray for them and support them. And so it is, when you've had that burning bush experience, when God spoke to you and said, this is what I want you to do. Oh, man. I've never known anybody that did what God wanted them to do that regretted it. Isn't that amazing to be able to make statements like that? But I've known a lot of people that have missed God's blessing because they didn't do what God asked them to do. I'm going to ask you tonight, have you had a burning bush experience with God? Number two, I want to talk about the burning bones experience. You say, what? Burning bones? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Would you turn there quickly? Jeremiah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? God already had plans for Jeremiah before he was even born. Then said I, wow. Hey, Lord, God, behold, I can't speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee to do, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched his mouth. And the Lord said unto him, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. How many of you would like to have the words of God in your mouth? Wouldn't that be so neat? Well, just ask him to talk through you. Lord, you give me an opportunity to serve you, and I'll just start speaking, and you got to take over. Is that a good deal? Yeah. God overcame Jeremiah's objections. In chapter 9, verse 1, would you turn there? Jeremiah 9, 1. Oh, that my head were water, head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. He was known as the weeping prophet. And God made it clear, they're not going to listen to you, but you tell them what I want you to say. I want you to tell them what I want you to say. And they didn't like it. They even got so mad at Jeremiah, they said, we're going to kill you. We don't like what you say. He said, I'm just telling you what God said. Yeah, we don't like it. Can you imagine the Israelites being so hardened by sin that they would hate truth? I thought we're supposed to love truth. Well, that's not where it ends. Jeremiah is rejected. He is mistreated. He's maligned. He's persecuted. He's imprisoned. Go with me to chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. He talks about the chief governor in the house of the Lord heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pastor smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Right next to the house of the Lord, they're putting him in stocks, mistreating him. Jeremiah cried out to the Lord, and he said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, and I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not mention him, nor speak any more in his name. That's it, God. I'm done. These people aren't listening. They're abusing me. They're mistreating me. But notice the next phrase. But his word was in my heart. Jeremiah 27:8-9. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He said, I tried to keep my mouth shut and I couldn't. Isn't that good? Hey, when you've had a burning bush experience, it's going to become a burning bones experience. You're not going to be able to keep your vocal cords quiet. You're going to have to speak up for your Lord. Amen. If somebody told you, Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, what are you kidding? What would you say? Oh, I'm sorry you feel this way, and I'm sorry I offended you, and I promise I'll never try to offend you again. Is that what you say? Well, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. Just give them the word of God and smile. Aren't you glad Jesus said that to you and you believed it? And you know what? You know what's going to cause other people to believe it? Your smile. Speaking the truth in. When somebody's yelling at you, you just smile at them. I understand. I used to be where you were. I used to be an atheist or an agnostic or whatever you were before you got saved. Just a heathen, maybe. But Jesus found me and put his loving arms around me and he saved my soul. I'm his and I want you to experience your sins forgiven. You can turn a denial or a rejection of the gospel down and do it in love and show them that you care. And if they persecute you, love them more. The Bible talks about heaping coals of fire on their head. Amen. Don't try doing that. But God will take care of all of that. Amen. So we have the burning bones experience. I can't keep silent. When you are not silent, the fire of God is working on your behalf. God's always working. He's always working in people's hearts. There are people right now that are getting ready to get saved. They're not ready yet, but they're getting ready. And boy, you want to be there to help them in the process of coming to the end of themselves and accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a blessing that is. Let's go to the burning bosom experience, okay? In the book of Luke, chapter 24, these two disciples are on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says their eyes were holden and they didn't recognize him. The Lord Jesus is walking on the Emmaus road with them. They had just come out of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ had been crucified. He'd been buried. And it was the time from when he was buried till the time that he arose. They're going back to Emmaus on the Emmaus road. And all of a sudden, Jesus is walking with them, but they didn't recognize him. He asked them why they were so sad. And they told him how their hopes had been dashed when Jesus had been crucified and put to death and buried. They had trusted that it should have been him that would redeem Israel. And this was the third day since it happened. Almost saying to him, don't you understand this? Don't you know what's going on? We are sad because we thought. I'm sure that some thought he was going to destroy the Roman Empire and establish his own kingdom. They were all excited and their hopes and their dreams were dashed. Remember the disciples? Which one of us is going to be the greatest? They really believed there was going to be something coming for them and their hopes are dashed and they're sad and they're discouraged over what's happened. Look at chapter 24, verse 25, Luke. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart. Boy, he doesn't even fool around, does he? He goes, tells it like it is. I like that. O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ
speaking of himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he's talking about himself to them. And they drew nigh unto the village, whether they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he brake it, and he gave it to them. And look at the next verse. And their eyes were what? And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Can you imagine the excitement? They must have gone, let me check my eyes. He's gone. And they said one to another, did not our hearts, what? Burn within us. We call that heartburn. Not Italian heartburn. But God heartburn. Amen. Oh, their spirit was renewed. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. Man, they took off and they went down that Emmaus road and they went back to tell the disciples what they had seen. We saw him. He appeared unto us and unto 500 others. Now, how does that relate to us? Well, we get our eyes on circumstances and problems. Some of our own making, but nonetheless, we get to become sad, depressed Christians. And we lose sight of God. You know what changed those men? It wasn't the resurrection as it was them seeing him. Did you know I feel his presence when I pray? Do you? Do you? Do you enjoy talking to him? Some of you really like to talk. I know you do. Yeah, you want to talk about, you name it. We'll talk about it and keep going and keep going and keep talking about it. Why? Because it's important to us. Well, what do you think's important to God? His dear son in your life. We cannot afford to lose our joy. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We've experienced all those attributes of Satan in our own lives. Steal your joy. Kill your vision. Steal, kill, and what? Get you out of God's work and out of God's service and out of God's church. Man, I'd be scared to death to miss church. I am not kidding. You say, well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be that way. No, I've learned that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, and I like spiritual pleasures. We had a young boy, 13-year-old boy, gets saved this morning down here. Can anybody really say amen like it really happened? Amen. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. And we go, well, we'll see. We'll watch him for a while. It's a wonder God puts up with us. Let's be honest. Really. Man, we ought to be so happy when somebody gets saved. Were you happy the day you got saved? I think your pouting disappeared, didn't it? Huh? At least for a while. The whole point of the burning heart experience is that we are so excited about God that we are not going to let anything or anybody take it away from us. If you want to be backslid, go ahead. But I'm not going that way. Amen.
Not even for a while. I told you already that the Lord knows all of our thoughts and sees all of our deeds, whether they be good or evil. So why don't we just quit sinning and start having the joy of the Lord? The happy people are the people that are forgiven. Forgiven. I like that.
Amen.
All right, now we're going to talk about your faith under fire. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. This is a spiritual fire that's taking place here. The Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, chapter 15 of Matthew, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence, and he departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and she cried unto him, crying unto Jesus. There's a crowd, no doubt. And she said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Now, I don't think I'd mind hearing that once, maybe, but to hear it 25 times, I can see she finally gets up to where Jesus is, and of course the disciples are hanging around real close and everything, and she is grieving, no doubt, maybe crying. Her daughter's got a devil in her, and it needs to be delivered. We talked about the disciples and how poorly they did, right? They had a bad spirit. Remember that the other night? The disciples are staying there, standing around with Jesus, and the Bible says in verse 23, I'm talking about your faith under fire. This Syrophoenician woman's faith, her faith at what, in what she wanted was under fire. Watch this. But he answered her not a word. Can you see Jesus doing this? That's out of his character. Isn't it? The Bible says he came to seek and to save those that are lost. But he gives her the silent treatment. Let's see how she handles it. Well, before it explains any more about her, it talks about those good old disciples. They came and they besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Those inconsiderate disciples acting out again. "Just send her away, Lord. We're sick and tired of her talking, making noise around us like this. She's been crying out all this time. Send her away." What would you think if you were the lady standing there? Wow, what's wrong with these people? I thought these disciples had power with God and cared about, I thought they were Jesus' disciples. Aren't you Jesus' disciples? Before we get too hard on the disciples, let's ask ourselves a question. How you doing as a disciple? They wanted convenience. They didn't want to hear her blabbering. "Send her away." Well, she's still there. Amen. But he answered and said, before she could speak again, he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." My ministry is only to Jewish people. Now, let me just interject right here. How many of you believe God is sovereign? He knows the end from the beginning, doesn't he? He knows all things. What the Lord was doing was he was putting her under fire. You say, why would he do that? to find out whether she was really serious about what she needed. God knows everything, right? But boy, when I look at this, that's the race card if I've ever seen it. That's the race card. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I only minister to Jews, you Gentile. Now that could send some of us down the road. Forget him. Forget him. She said, I'm not going anywhere. Don't you love that? And then she said, here's what she did. This is amazing. Then she came and worshiped him. You know what worship was like in those days? You fell down at Jesus' feet. That was worship. And here's what she said. Lord, help me. That kind of sounds like I'm not taking no for an answer. Okay, Lord? She pleads again. Oh, then Jesus, look at him. Oh, his compassion and love here. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a name. He called her a dog. Now that is just downright mean. That'd send you walking, wouldn't it? Listen to what she says. Truth, Lord. Yeah. True. I'm a dog. True. True, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. All I want is some crumbs, Master. That woman's faith was under fire, and I want to tell you something. She passed the test. How many of you believe you're tested by, even by God? I've been tested by God. There's sometimes I got mad at God in the middle of my test. And I failed my test. And so God gives me another test. And I fail that one. And then guess what? He always comes back with another one. And I fail that one. But God is tenacious. God does not give up on anybody. Mm-mm. And he'll stay after you and hunt you like a hound. He won't let you go. He'll put up with your nonsense. And he'll just be silent and he'll wait until you wake up to the reality that it's Almighty God that has never given up on you. That is amazing. That's the amazing grace of our great God. Look what he says. Woman. He didn't just say woman, I'm sorry. He said, oh, woman. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole at that very hour. All of a sudden, the devil comes out of the daughter. You know what Jesus said, basically? Lady, anything you want, you're going to get it. That's what he said. Whatever thou wilt. Whatever thou wilt. Whatever you want. Now let's translate that to 2021. What do you want? What do you want? What's your need? What's your spiritual need? What's your physical need? What is it that you really need? You kids, what is it that you really need? I'll tell you what all of us need. Is we need our faith under fire to grow us up.
Because here's what happens. Do you think that woman ever doubted the Lord ever again? I would think not. Now, I don't know whether she cared too much for the insults and all the other, but I'm sure her and the Lord were talking later. I would just love to find out what they talked about after that. Why did you do that to me? Because I wanted to see if you were real. I can't help but believe that God has a way of bringing us to where we should be, but we hinder His work. And that's our problem. How do we relate faith under fire for us? Lord, I need you first of all, and I know that you're the only answer. So there's no need in calling anybody else about it. Right? I mean, we'll have people pray for us about different things, but who's the one that we're really talking to? You have had people ask you to pray for them and you lied to them. You say, how do you know? Because I've done it. Oh, I'll be glad to pray for you. And then I forgot to write it down. Who was that person that needed prayer and what was the request they had? If you don't write it down or you don't stop right there and pray with that person, you will forget. And that person thinks you're praying for them and you're not. So why should we depend upon anybody but God, really? People will disappoint you. But God won't. God has a perfect track record. And He's going to put you under fire. You know why? Fire purifies. It purifies us. The Bible said, the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Then he said, it was good that I was afflicted. Amen. Isn't that amazing? I went astray and then God judged me and then I came back to where I should be. That's exciting to think that God could bring us back. I often have people come to me and say, pray for my son or my daughter. Pray for my family. They're lost. Sometimes I've said to them, are you praying for them? They look at me like, why'd you say that? I just asked you a simple question. Of course I'm praying for them. Okay. Do you believe God will answer you? Well, He hasn't yet. Oh, okay. So you're mad at Him. No. You're mad at me? You get the point? We get so full of ourselves, God can't use us. And then we get discouraged and then we want to quit. And if somebody else is being used of God, you say, well, how come God loves them and He doesn't love me? Then we get bitter. And boy, we can get into a mess. But oh, if we would just surrender, Lord, I don't care how long you make me wait for what I've asked you for, but I'm going to trust you for it. I'm going to believe that you can do it because it would bring you glory and honor. Why wouldn't God want to get honor and glory? Isn't that what He asks of us? Listen, if we don't give God honor and glory, how can we deserve to get answers? That's good. Yeah, wow. Right? Oh, may God help us. Amen. This story has helped me. That woman is one of my heroes. Yeah. Why? Because she wouldn't give up until God gave her what she needed. He's promised to meet our needs. Our Heavenly Father.